Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be with you all again. And I just do want to say a great big thank you for all the hospitality that everyone has bestowed upon myself and upon Barry. And I guess we are the inaugural visitors into the guest house, or as Pastor Monty called us, we're the guinea pigs. And it has been wonderful to be over there. Husbands, if you ever get in trouble with your wives, there's a nice place to stay across the street. It really is just a beautiful place. I have to admit one thing at this moment. My heart is a bit torn between two, because at this very moment right now, my church in Mildura is having their service. It's Sunday morning there in Australia. And so it would be towards the end of the preaching service right about now. So I am kind of just, my heart is a bit over there right now, wondering how things are going there on the other end of the world. But it is good to be with you. Now, our theme of the conference has been Fruit to Your Account, and as I mentioned last night, that this is where we're going to be looking at. So if you want to turn to the book of Philippians, that is where we'll be taking a look at this evening and the time we have. When Pastor Lopez communicated with me about the theme of the conference, he did say that one of the things was to kind of emphasize the missionaries that the church already has, the missionaries that the church already sponsors and supports around the world, and to kind of awaken and revitalize that bond that is between the two the churches and the missionary, that partnership that is entered into whenever a church says, yes, we'll make a commitment to support, and we'll make a commitment to help that missionary get to wherever he's going and to do what he's going to do there on the foreign field. And there is no better example whatsoever in the Scriptures of a church that can epitomize a good relationship between church and missionary, if you want to call them that, than the church of the Philippians, the church at Philippi. Of all the churches that Paul writes to, and we see his heart towards a lot of these churches, but I believe that if pick a church that was his absolute favorite, that was probably closest to his heart, from what we can see in the Scriptures, I think we would dare say that he would answer it would be the church at Philippi. There is no doubt that he had a special bond with that church. So what was it that allowed him to enter into such a relationship, such a partnership with that church? Why not the church of Galatia? We know that they loved him when he was there, but then things kind of went awry when he was not there. We know that things were great when he was at Corinth, but things weren't so great when he wasn't at Corinth. But no church stood strong and entered into that relationship as the church at Philippi. And as we just in the time we have, I want to look at how can Faith Baptist Church of Avon better increase their bond with the missionaries that you support. And one of the tough things about that is that as we go forward in this and look at a couple things, instantly you can say, our church is doing that, our church is doing this, our church is doing that. But I don't want you to look at it as a collective, our church. I want you to look at a collective you, an individual you. Am I doing these things? The church is made up of people, and I don't want you to just kind of lump yourself in with the groups of people that are here. I want you to think, how can I better increase my bond with the missionaries that our church partners with? And I think the church at Philippi is a good example on which to look. And just for sake of time, we won't be able to look at all the details and background on this church of the Philippians. But one of the things that we definitely see about this church, one of the things they're able to enter into the strong bond above all other churches with their friend Paul, who they saw and saw for only a short time, is the first thing, number one, is they partnered with him. They partnered with him. There is a bond instantly that happened in a very short time. Now, I know, just because I've experienced it and you're on the receiving end of it, missionaries come in, they do their little video, they say their little speech, they pack up, they go home, and then, you know, a couple weeks later you get someone else and they do their thing, they go forward, they present everything, they pack up, they go on, and it's just, you know, you don't really get to know them so much so, except you see our face on some photograph on your refrigerator every now and then, and things like that. But the church at Philippi did not let that be an excuse with them. Because if you study in the book of Acts, in fact, in Acts chapter 16, hold here in Philippians, because we will be looking at stuff in just a moment, but look very, very quickly in the book of Acts chapter number 16, the record of where Paul is there in the city of Philippi, and you will see one of the most interesting things about this church. Because Paul, having this great bond with them, he was only in the city of Philippi for a few days. There are other churches he spent years with. There are other churches he spent months with. But as you look at the story of the history of Paul in Philippi, he was in it for not that long of a time. There in Acts chapter number 16, we see, you know, if you just glance at verse number 12, it tells how Paul then goes to Philippi and from thence to Philippi, and it then is going to start some of the stories about things that happened. We know verse 13, that very first weekend, he goes on the Sabbath day, tries to go to the synagogue. There was no synagogue, and so he then goes to the riverside to pray. And then verse 14 and 15 talk about how he meets Lydia. And that first weekend, there in being in the city of Philippi, he's able to meet up with Lydia and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with her. And then in verse 16, it starts this. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Now, the scripture does say he was there many days, but if you go through and read the whole thing, I really don't think Paul allowed this demon-possessed woman to follow him for months and months and months and months and ridicule their thing. I think it really was kind of a brief moment of time. It may have been a week, it may have been 2 weeks, but I just think based on the things we can see in scripture, it probably was not this extended period of time. Well, what happens after that demon is cast out of that woman, then instantly, the businessmen are all upset. Oh, we can't believe he did this. And so they then take Paul, cast him into jail. And we know starting in verse number 25, the great story of Paul and Silas there in the jail at Philippi. We then know how he's able to lead that jailer to Christ. And he then escapes. But then when you look that night in verse number 31, 32, 33, what happens that evening? He's just at the house of the jailer. And then starting at verse 35, the next day happened. So it's a very fast sequence of things happening. The next day, the counselor comes up and says, hey, you're free to go. Well, they go through a bit of a discussion. And then verse number 39 says, and they came and they besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. That's it. Short time. He's there for a short time. He's hounded by this lady. He casts the demon out. They toss him in jail. Then basically he leaves the city. He's not there for a long period of time. And then we do see in Acts chapter 20, he's probably there for just a few more days, but not long whatsoever. This was a bond that was brought by that church to Paul because they partnered with him. They decided it's not going to be because of lack of time or an excessive amount of time. It's we have a heart for this man because we have a heart for this man. We have a desire for what he is doing. We love what he's doing. We love the things he's going about proclaiming and teaching and sharing. We are going to partner with him. And so we know in the book of Philippians, it's all about how the church gave and gave and gave to him when no one else would give. Why? Because they partnered. They didn't use an excuse to say, well, you know what? He was only in town for a short moment of time. Hey, those Galatians, they had him for a long time. Or Ephesus, he was there for a few years. No, this was a church that said, we're going to enter into a relationship with him. They partnered with him. And I know as these people come and go, and as I come and go, and I'm just a voice on a sound system once a year or whatever, once every 2 years, it is tough to enter into a relationship with those people. It is tough to have a love and a burden and a heart for them. But this was a conscious decision by this church. We are going to partner with Paul. We don't know everything about him. We didn't get to spend a lot of time with him. But we have a heart for him and what he's doing. And that's one of the things that helped that church increase their burden on what he was doing. So they very much so partnered with Paul. But then another thing we know there in Philippians chapter number 1 is that they prayed for Paul. They prayed for Paul. Paul addressing the church in the first chapter of Philippians, we know that he's sitting there in jail. And he is encouraging the church, talking about the things that is happening while he's in jail. And we know specifically that that church at Philippi was praying for him. We see there in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 18 and 19. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The people of the church at Philippi were praying for Paul. And if you want to increase your bond with the missionaries, with those that you have entered into a commitment with, can I encourage you to really pray for them? It's easy as a church to kind of lump it under the umbrella of we pray for our missionaries. But to spend as an individual, I will pray for that family. I will pray for this family. I will pray for that family in Canada, in Australia, in South America, in Asia, in Europe. I will pray. I will make a conscious decision. Pick one a day. You know, I think you have 45 approximately or so missionaries that your church has entered into a commitment with, into a bond with. You know, pray for one a day. Pray for two a day. Go through them twice a month. This church was praying for Paul. And as they heard about the things that were happening, as they heard that he was in jail, as they heard the different dramas that were going on as his journeys, this church was able to increase their passion, their love for this man. Why? Because they got down on their knees and lifted him up before God. God, please help him as he's sitting in jail. Please help him as he's trying to minister. Please help him to have boldness in what he's doing. Lord, please free him from the bondage that he is in. This was a praying church. Now, I know that your church prays, but how about you as an individual? Do you, as an individual of this church, pray? If you pray daily for the missionaries that you've entered that commitment, I guarantee you, you'll better your bond with them. You'll have a desire to know what's happening. You'll want to know about the stories and things that are reported, whether it be through the secretary putting in a little message about it in the bulletin or whatever. You'll want to know because why? You're praying for him. And this was a church that not only partnered with him, but they prayed for him. And Paul also prayed for them. I think sometimes missionaries are a bit scoundrels because it's always like, give, give, give to me, and they don't pray back or give back or do anything back. It's a relationship. And if there may be someone here who may be considering, you know, maybe the Lord would have me to be a missionary or serve in whatever capacity around this world. Can I tell you and encourage you that you have a responsibility, I firmly believe, based on the example of Paul in Scripture, you have a responsibility to be praying for the churches that do support you and help you. I can tell you that me and my family, we pray for First Faith Baptist Church of Avon. We pray for the things that are happening here. Because why? It's a commitment. It's not just give me money and help me get on the field. It's a commitment. It's a relationship. And how can we better that? I pray for you, and you pray for me. This was a church that not only partnered, but they prayed for one another. But then also we know, without a doubt, that they provided. They provided for Paul. We see that in that chapter number 4. We find that out where in starting at verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even on Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, which leads to the verse which is our theme, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This church partnered with them, they prayed for him, and they provided for him. There's no doubt that this was a church that was a very giving church. This was a church that decided, we want to give to help our brother Paul, who is traveling around preaching the gospel to others. As he's going into different cities, as he's going into different towns, as he's presenting the message of Jesus Christ to wherever he goes, we want to have a part in that, and we want to provide for his needs. And it was something that a few churches did. As he says there, no other church did it. You know, that's a sad thing about churches today, is that they, you know, they cut out the mission budget, or they restrict what they do so that they can build bigger things or do bigger things. But one of the fascinating things that Paul writes in this context, we all know verse number 19 of Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a verse quoted a lot of times. A verse quoted, you know, to help us in different things. But think of the context of this verse. What is he saying to the church at the Philippians? You gave when no one else was giving. My God will supply your needs. It's a promise to a giving church who provided for Paul's needs. It's a promise. We pull that verse out of context and we use it in a lot of ways. But when you get to the very heart of it, it is a promise to the church who gives to help those to in their ministry that they've committed to be. As this church goes forward in the future and tries to seek to commit to more people so that they can help more Barry Goodwins and more Mary Henders and more people like that around this world, wherever it may be, there is a promise resting upon this church. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You can never go wrong in supplying the needs of those in the ministry because God has a promise to that church who's providing those things. And we need to get back to understanding, rather than looking, ooh, how much is that going to cost us? What's that going to do? Philippians 4:19. That's a promise to the church. That's a promise given to the giving church. And how do you increase your bond with those missionaries you've entered into a commitment with? You definitely partner with them. Make a heart's desire as an individual. I want to get to know them. I want to get to realize, who are these folks that we've made a commitment, who came in and blew real out real fast? I want to get to know them. And I will pray for them. And I, as an individual, will make sure to provide for them. Don't be the one person who doesn't give. Everyone. It should be truly 100% participation. Everyone can give something. If God gives to you anything, you can give a bit of that back to for God's glory and for his kingdom. It should be 100% participation. Will you better your bond by providing for those in the ministry? But then also this church, not only did they pray and provide and partner, but this church also produced. See, the thing about this church at the Philippians is that Paul was only there for a short time, and we know that he, as far as the record of the Scripture is, he led only to the Lord the Lady Lydia, and he left there the jailer and his family. Two people, really. Two families. And then what happens? He comes back and writes this letter to a church. Well, where in the world did that church come from? You look at some of the other churches in the book of the New Testament, you see Paul had a huge role in starting those churches. The church at Philippi, Paul didn't do much work with. Which tells us that that was a soul-winning church in their community. That was a church that had a heart for souls. It wasn't a church built on the backs of Paul and his labor. It was the church built on the backs of the people going forth in the town of Philippi, reaching others for Jesus Christ. And as they reached others for Jesus Christ, as they produced in their community, it could not but help generate a desire for souls around the world in other communities to be reached. You become active in your community here, and you get excited about people coming to Christ in this community, and you are involving yourself as an individual in the work of the gospel in this town, then you will be excited about what's happening in towns and countries around this world. If you have no involvement whatsoever in seeing souls saved in this community, if you have no involvement in the things of spreading the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, then chances are you won't have much excitement about what's happening around the world. You won't get a great big joy in your soul and your spirit at hearing the stories of those in West Africa coming to Christ, or those in Asia coming to Christ, or those in Australia coming to Christ. But if you're involved in nitty-gritty here in this community, then you have a heartbeat for souls. And every soul that you hear that comes to Christ around this world, you think, yes, praise God for that. So how do you better that bond with your missionaries? I truly believe you produce here. And as a church, there's no doubt the reputation of Faith Baptist Church of Avon is a gospel-preaching church. But what about you as an individual? Do you do your part to make up that reputation? You can kind of get lost in the tidal wave of everyone else doing it. But what about you as an individual? Are you doing your part to produce? Because if you are, then you will be excited about souls coming to Christ around the world. This was a church that produced. And then lastly, very quickly, this was a church, and I think this is maybe the most important thing, this was a church that prioritized. One of the things about the church of the Philippians is given, Paul gives as a kind of example, kind of as a testimony to use to one of the other churches found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, you will see a very strong statement about this church of the Philippians. This was a church that prioritized. Paul here is obviously writing to the people in Corinth in 2 Corinthians, and he is confronting them about the issue of giving. And he's going to give them an example, an illustration to challenge them to, hey, Church of Corinth, you promised to give to those saints who are suffering a famine down there in Jerusalem. You better do your part. You made a commitment. You better fulfill that commitment. And here he gives an illustration starting at verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. He says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." The number one city in Macedonia was the Philippians. So we can put into our mind, thinking through this testimony of the city of the Philippians, of Philippi, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What made this church special? It had its priorities right. God, here we are. We're just a group of people meeting in the city of Philippi. Things aren't easy. In fact, we're facing persecution of everything that's going on. As it says there in that verse number 2, a great trial of affliction was upon the churches in Macedonia, of again, which Philippi was the main city. And as they were going through and suffering, they could have used a lot of excuses. Oh, times are tough here in our city. The economics of our people when they come to church are, we don't have a lot. Oh man, we can't put forth to others because look at the struggles we're going through ourselves. And in fact, Paul really kind of infers the fact that he tried to get to the church of Philippi and the others of Macedonia and say, no, no, don't worry about it, folks. You got your own problems. You take care of your own selves. And the church at Philippi and the others had to come to Paul and say, no, take it. Take it. Take it. We want you to have it. Why? Because they had their priorities right. We gave ourselves to God first. And however God wants to use us, He has all of us. He has our finances, He has our families, He has everything about us at the church at Philippi. God, we give ourselves to You first. And if you give of yourself to God and say as an individual, God, here I am. Whatever You want of me, I yield it unto You. God, I yield You my dreams. I yield You my plans of my future. I yield You my family. I yield you my sons. I yield you my daughters. I yield you my marriage. I yield you my husband, my wife. I yield everything about me. God, I give it to you first. Use me in whatever way. Use anything about my life. God, I give it unto you. That's the right priority. And this church had a special bond with Paul because they had a heart for the things of God. God, here we are. We're not much. We're just a small church going through some tough times in the city of Philippi. But here we are, Lord. And as Paul and his heart's desire was, Lord, here I am. Use me in any way. I'll go wherever you want me to go. There was a knit bond there because you had two people, two groups of people with the same heart. Two people who had the same priority. And as individuals, don't think of the big body of people here. Think as yourself as an individual. Have you given yourself unto the Lord? That whatever about you, you say, God, here I am. I yield unto you. Not as Paul was wanting, because he said, no, don't do it. But they, as the Scripture says, they gave their own selves to the Lord first. When they got that relationship right first, it sure was easy to understand what's going on this way. And as the church at Faith Baptist Church of Avon, I want to speak to you as individuals, not as the collective body. Can you better increase your bond with the missionaries you have? Can you partner with them? This wasn't a church that just wrote a check and said, here you go, Paul, you're there in Thessalonica, here you go, take it. They had a heartbeat for what was happening in his life. They had a heartbeat for what was going on in his adventures there in the field, wherever he went to. This was a church that partnered with him. Are you partnering with your missionaries as an individual? Do you know them? Are you praying for your missionaries that you've entered into his commitment with? Do you lift up their name before the Lord? You say, well, that'd take too long. Paul prayed for all of his churches, all the time, every day. If you just take up two folks and pray for them daily, pray for them. That's how this church got to know Paul. That's how they had a heart for him. They provided for him. They wanted to give. They said, here we are, Paul, we want to give to you. No other church may be doing it, but here we are. Even though we're a poor church, we could use the finances, we want to give to you. We have a heart for what you're doing. We provide unto you. And they were a church that produced in their own community. Because as their heart was stirred up for souls in Philippi, their heart was also stirred up for souls in Thessalonica and in Corinth and in other places that Paul went. You get involved in the things here, how are you doing? Are you excited about what happens in this church? Are you doing your part to bring souls to Christ? Because if you do, then you know the joy of hearing about what's happening on the other end of the world and hearing people come to Christ. And then this also was a church that had its priorities right. God, here we are. We're not much, but use us in whatever way. Do you have that attitude of, God, here I am? That may not be much. Just a simple family of Indiana. But God, you can do anything with my life. I yield myself to you. We see of all the churches in the New Testament, no church had a relationship like the church of Philippi had with Paul. What will you do to increase your bond with the missionaries that you support? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray and ask that as we take a look at this, I pray, Father, that you'd stir our heart for those folks that are on the foreign field already, that are miles away, different time zones away. God, I pray that those who this church here has entered into a commitment with, may it be more than just writing a check and sending them some dollars each month. But God, may it be a true partnership with them. That as they hear the reports of what's happening, it will bring joy to their heart. Lord, I pray that you would stir this church up, that you would be excited about what's happening. Not just in the collective body of the believers, but God, I pray that if there's someone out here who is sitting here tonight and who is not doing their part, and they're just kind of coasting on the things of what the church does as a whole, but not contributing, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them tonight. Father, I pray that you would show them that they need to step up like the church of Philippi did and do their part for those that they have sent around the world. God, please work. Please work to raise forth more laborers unto the harvest. God, please work. I pray that you would provide for the needs of Faith Baptist Church of Avon as they provide for the needs of those serving you around this world. God, may Philippians 4:19 be a promise that's seen fulfilled time and time and time again in the lives of families as they write out their checks and their thoughts on what they're going to give for the year. Lord, I pray that you would do that also for this church as a body of believers. You'd provide for their needs and fulfill that promise there, Philippians 4:19. God, help stir us up, I pray. And this I do ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.